This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, look who's back. Here he is. Tubbsy did an excellent job. Bravo, Tubbsy. But glad to have you back, Dave Harrigan.
Thank you, Chad.
Dave will share a number of stories with us when we get to overrated, underrated, properly rated. But by then, we all might be broke.
I already am.
Yeah, I mean, it's over. Stock market, boom, instantly is down 1,100 points. We've rallied, quote, unquote. It's only down 950 points. Good job, Dow, as our guy John Williams used to say. Not good job. So let's bring in the economic guru of this show into the conversation right from the start. He is Brian Belsky, chief investment strategist of BMO Capital Markets, one of us from Wilmer. Okay, let me start with this broad-based question. What the hell is going on?
That's a great way to start. Yeah, I think when we were in studio here about, I don't know, a week or 10 days ago, we talked about the market and investors and the economy transitioning from good news is bad news and bad news is good news. Well, bad news is bad news. And the market reacted accordingly on Friday with respect to some of the employment numbers. And then over the weekend, this is pretty classic stuff. Unfortunately, you know, society is like the market and market is like society. We see a bullet point and we react, and it's still kind of fire aim ready with respect to how we're thinking. So what does that mean? So over the weekend or Friday, we had a bad day, and then that exacerbated over the weekend with Japan doing what it did and Asian markets reacting to the bad employment number that we got on Friday. And why are people reacting to the bad employment report on Friday? It means that most people think that the Fed now is too late and that they should have been cutting before. They actually should have cut in July. Many people are talking about that. And we've reared an entire generation of investors, Chad, that only believe that they should buy stocks because interest rates go down. And so now today, the market was down at one point 1,000 points. It's come back a little bit. Now it's back down again. To down 900 or something like that on the Dow. But we had a pretty good, decent economic report in terms of the services part of the economy, and the bond market reacted and the stock market reacted accordingly. But this is all because the market needed a little humility. Stocks went up way too far too fast. Everybody was kind of chasing the same thing. When everyone's doing the same thing, that really increases the risk of having these types of things. So to have an August sell-off is very, very normal. We've just kind of forgotten about this because stocks have been so linear lately.
All right, this is you. This is standard you. Steady as it goes. Take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Namaste. Whereas I watch for a couple hours clicking networks, and there are a lot of people saying, it's a recession. It is going to happen. And they were even more forcefully blaming the Fed. So my question is, I want you to expand. In your opinion, is the Fed late to this, and should they react? And if they don't, are we staring at a recession, or do you think people are trying to get on TV, and the way you get on TV is you're hyperbolic, you're over the top, you're going to grab the audience, and those are the folks they want on the show?
I think it's the latter. TV's become, especially in financial news, has become headline grabbing, and the more bombastic, the better. And I think that really started in the great financial crisis, 2000, 2008, and was then exacerbated and really defined what's happening in COVID, people coming out and saying these unbelievable type of things. And if you remember, there was a hedge fund guy, I'm not going to say his name because I'm not going to give him any credit, the Thursday before the market shut down and the world shut down, said that the United States was heading into hell. And these types of silly things that you need to kind of take a step back and act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. You got to walk humble here because markets go up and down, and you should not be jumping up and down, thumping your chest if you're right or wrong. What we find really interesting, and I said this actually live on television today, I said the more people that come on your network today, I said, that are bearish and talk about a recession, the more bullish I get, because it's reactive, it's fear-mongering, it's headline-grabbing. The bottom line is this. We in the United States have the best companies in the world, full stop, period. And so you talk about Japan rolling over. Well, of course Japan's rolling over because everybody chased the Japan market after it went up dramatically in 2023. And Japan was reinflating after nearly 40 years of deflation. Of course asset levels are going to go up there. And people have become so attuned to chasing performance, Chad. Nobody was buying the market 2 years ago and everybody was worried. We were closer to a recession 2 years ago than we are today. We're still spending money. And remember, too, why is August so volatile? August is volatile because people are on vacation. People forget. 1997 negative, 98 negative, 99 negative, 2000 negative, 2001 negative. For the months of August, we're all negative those months. We can't even remember 2 years ago. So why am I quoting the 90s? Well, I think the 90s is where we're at here, late 90s type of stock market, where we're transitioning from being concentrated in four, five, six big stocks. Back in the mid-90s, people completely forgotten this. It was Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Gillette, Procter & Gamble that are trading at 50, 60 times earnings. And Mr. Greenspan's irrational exuberant speech in 1997, 1998 was actually about those stocks. It wasn't about tech stocks. So history repeats itself. We're seeing this again. And this is very normal, and the market needs to clean up a little bit of froth. We have not changed our bullish forecast. In fact, we think stocks are at brand new price highs by year end. We just need to kind of wash this out a little bit and let the Fed do its job.
So I'm watching the Olympics while I'm listening to you two and Dave Harrigan turn around. They're showing the steeplechase. What kind of goofy event is this? Where all of a sudden we're just running, and then we've got a hurdle, and we just run, and then we keep going. What do you? I think this is an event we need to get rid of. Steeplechase. I mean, was this invented like you're running away from your parents or you're running away from someone and you have to simulate running over a fence? Belsky, where do you stand on the steeplechase?
I'm a seller of the steeplechase. You think about this is all.
Now you're going through the water, too. I mean, where's
this random puddle?
It's just a random water. I mean, what was the water doing here?
Everyone's ripping like the past in terms of steeplechase was a rich person sport from Europe that was brought to America.
Let's
when we
it.
All came over from Europe. And so why are we still doing that? It just doesn't, that to me doesn't make a lot of sense.
Harrigan, this is a weird event.
It's weird.
It is weird. And I like that we're getting a little steeplechase history lesson from Belsky.
Yeah, I mean, we're showing the diversity. Okay, hang on, Belsky. I want to ask this question when we come back. It's Monday. We're melting, but Belsky is saying to you right now, let's all say it together, namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Now, Larry David would not say it. He would not say namaste in one of the Great Curve episodes of all time. I'm going to ask Belsky this when we come back. By tomorrow, by Wednesday, by Thursday, are we in a better position? Or are we still slipping a little bit before Belsky thinks everything will stabilize? Brian Belsky, noted steeplechase historian and chief investment strategist for BMO Capital Markets. It's a silly event. What are the other really ridiculous events when you watch them, Harrigan, and they just don't make any sense?
I might start getting into this one, actually.
You might start getting
looking
into
good.
The steeplechase.
Mr. Ethiopia is just running away.
How
with
are we as steeplechasians? Are we okay, America?
I don't see any USAs up front.
Doesn't look like it. Looks like we failed. You know what? I'm proud that we failed in the steeplechase.
You don't like chasing steeples?
No, steeples. Overrated. Hit the button.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back with part economic guru, part steeplechase historian. So, Dave, describe the drama we had with the steeplechase as we're resuming our conversation with Belsky. We had a We had a guy who was trying to cheat.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, we had Mr. Ethiopia was leading the race. Then he was passed by some eight-footer from I can't remember what country. And meanwhile, they're trying to get over the one hurdle with the puddle in the back. And Mr. Kenya missed the hurdle. He had to go back and double back and go over it again.
Yeah. Now, I think this should be another part of the steeplechase, Belsky. If you can cheat and get away with it, like if you somehow can go around the steeple and no one notices it, bravo to you.
Bravo.
I mean, and Harrigan, I'm still not convinced that he wasn't trying to do that.
It's very possible. Maybe you just draw a number out of a hat. You know, one guy, he gets to skip a steeple at some point.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
How about everybody gets to skip one steeple? So it's like a staggered race.
Pick your steeple.
And we the fans don't know which steeple they get to skip.
Do you have an assigned steeple or do you get to pick as you're going?
I think the favorites get to draw and then we don't know. And okay. And Belsky, I think you'd like to skip the last steeple, right?
I think you would. How about this? What if you do all the steeples and then you're able to take time off if you hit all the steeples?
Oh, that's interesting.
I like that.
Well, that's if you had a big lead. So was that – we having trials? I'm confused because it's live right now. Because now we've got another steeple race.
It's probably preliminary. Yeah,
yeah, something
setting
like
a big final.
Okay, so by the time we get to tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, do you believe – we are going to have just a normal, typical day on the market, or is this instability going to last for a few days?
I don't think this type of volatility can last a long time. And if you take a look at how markets opened up with this kind of exhaustive volatility rush to begin the day, typically and historically, you see that begin to ease, and that's exactly what's happening today, even though the price of the market's kind of rolled over here. A little bit again, the likelihood of the majority of the downside happening Friday and today is very likely. Doesn't mean that we're going to go straight up from here. It just means we're going to kind of bounce around. And remember, too, a lot of people are on vacation. So a lot of people are not probably putting capital to work. Typically and historically, the first week after Labor Day is a week where you see bigger moves to the upside in markets because people are back to work and things like that. So August here could be bumpy. And two, Mr. Powell from the Fed is talking at Jackson Hole later this month, and he's going to talk about his dual mandate. The dual mandate of the Fed is inflation and unemployment. Think about perspective, Chad. I mean, unemployment's still below 5%. That means 95% of the people in the United States, over 95% of the people in the United States are employed. The whole reason why the unemployment rate ticked up a couple of points last month is because more people are actually participating in
right.
the labor force.
That's what I was just going to ask, you know. These numbers on employment, unemployment, sometimes can be really odd numbers in the sense of if more people are participating, they go up, but we want more people to participate.
We do want more people to participate. And we do want people to be employed from a longer-term perspective as well in terms of keeping their jobs for a while. So I think coming back to the workforce is actually a good thing, number one. Number two, in terms of the market, too, remember, people only buy stocks when they're up, and they usually sell stocks when they're down. And so people become freaked out when markets and prices go down. That's exactly when they should be doing the opposite. Think of it as buying like real estate or buying a pair. You buy clothes. I mean, stocks are on sale and Christmas came a little bit early today and maybe it's a few months before, but typically and historically you always want to buy when times are the darkest or when there's quote unquote blood in the streets.
Can I get back to this idea that some have suggested that the Fed should have an emergency meeting right now, today, and cut rates?
I think that'd be bad.
Okay,
I think
why?
That would be bad because it would lose the markets would show even less confidence in the Fed. You asked me earlier if you know the Fed is wrong. The Fed traditionally is always late, and the Fed is late just from the mathematics perspective because the data that they're looking at has already happened. where they're not, they're forecasting, they have to wait to see things confirmed by their data. By the time it's confirmed, that's when they act, and that's just the way they work. So the Fed is traditionally late. By them coming out and saying, oh my gosh, I got to do a 50 basis point cut, that would actually rattle markets more. And then you're going to hear this mantra and this narrative out there from the narcissistic bears. They'll be saying, well, what does the Fed know that we don't know? And then people react even more to that. So that would be bad.
Listen, this guy's Harrigan. Don't ever doubt Belsky. Steeplechase a story, and now he's doing voices for us.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and can I update the steeplechase situation, too? From a texter, you realize the kid from Minnetonka is running the steeplechase event, ran at the U of M. Therefore, you're denigrating one of us. So we need to find out who is running in the steeplechase from the U of M. We need to track this down. Okay, Buffett took out how much money from the stock market? And how much is that playing with people freaking out and worried something really bad is about to take place?
I think they're using it as a data point. He sold 50% of his Apple. But he's owned Apple for 25 years. And so it could be a concentration perspective in terms of the position got so big. Warren Buffett, who I've met a couple times, an amazing man. But just to be clear, and just to throw out all the math, he's been underperforming the last few years because he hasn't kind of
watch yourself market. Watch yourself. Going after Warren Buffett.
It's very well known. I mean, listen, I am the way that I look and think and feel about investments is very Warren Buffett like. You want to buy when the stocks are down, you want to think stocks for the longer term and the like, but he has actually, because of the kind of market environment we're in, Chad, when stocks are up 20%, 25%, that's not a Warren Buffett type market because he's not a momentum chaser. He's not going to buy the stuff that's already up. He's a longer term investor. This is the man that bought Dairy Queen, for Christ's sake. And so, something about that. I mean, he's Mr. Peanut Buster Bar.
What is your go to at Dairy Queen, by the way?
Oh well, I haven't gotten to the full disclosure. Well, if I'm going to have a Blizzard, I'm going to have.
You don't have a go to at Dairy Queen, Harrigan. This should be just a rapid fire. Everybody, just
easy
answer. What are you hiding from?
I have to keep this the way that it is, man. I got to stay in shape. But if I was going to go to the Dairy Queen, it would be a Reese's Pieces, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard.
That's pretty good. It's not correct. I mean, it's pretty good. Peanut butter, Peanut Buster Parfait is the correct answer.
Well, remember Mr. Misty's? Do they even make Mr. Misty's anymore?
They gave you that headache thing just instantly.
Nobody liked Mr. Misty.
You know,
stop pretending.
What happened with Mrs. Misty? Why
when I worked for the
divorce,
city of Wilmer,
was Doug Emhoff involved in this or something?
When I worked in the city of Wilmer, and in the afternoons we'd have to take our mandatory 15-minute break. It's back in the early 80s, and I would go get a cherry raspberry Mountain Dew Mr. Misty.
What a terrible order. Harrigan, you're with me.
That's brutal.
Seriously, that's fireable from this show. Have we figured out which one of our guys is the U of M guy?
Matt Wilkinson.
Matt Wilkinson?
Yes, attended Minnetonka High School.
Nice. See, it all came together, along with this terrible Dairy Queen order. Mm. Ooh, gross.
The segment was going so well.
It was going so well, you know, seriously. All right, Belsky, love you. We'll let you go. Great insight, as always.
Thanks, man.
It is 30 past 12. We have a bunch of guests today. We've got a lot of good stuff. Tony Adams was a great police officer in the city of Minneapolis for a long, long time. Tony's been a friend of mine for decades. Tony now is in charge of security for the Timberwolves and Lynx. But I read the story yesterday, and we've discussed this before with guests because it's coming out hot and heavy again. What is Minneapolis going to do with ShotSpotter? What does Tony think about it? Other police items for Tony, and let's just go with it, Harrigan. We've stumbled into it. What is your go-to order at Dairy Queen? You go there, and you're not going to experiment. You're not going to dabble. You're not going to try something different. You're going with what you can count on.
Tried and true.
Tried and true. What is great? For me, it is the parfait.
Parfait.
It is, but I want it made properly. Let's not forget that about 2 years ago, I shared this story with you. In the drive-thru, my parfait was a complete melting mess. Like, as soon as I took the cover off, it was melting on the seats.
Do we overheat the fudge?
I don't. It wasn't professionalism.
Mm. Hate to see that.
I went back. I walked over there. Should I have driven back in the line? No. I walked over there, went to the front, and said, make this again. Was that fair?
Did you get a good reaction from the young man or a woman behind the
camera? Apologized. Wow. Apologized and made a much better parfait.
My dear sir.
Parfait.
Please forgive me.
I mean, it would have just melted all over me and the car. What should I have done?
You could have drank it.
No. It's not a Mr. Misty.
Well, not many things are stoop to that level as the Mr. Misty.
Belsky. I mean, would you have to suspend him for 2 weeks?
I think so.
What is your go-to at Dairy Queen?
It's a blizzard.
It's a blizzard?
Yeah, if I had
to. Now, Reese's Pieces one is a good one.
No, the pieces don't do it for me. I would go probably Oreo if I had to just.
Which one of the 5,000 Oreo flavors would you go with?
Straight Oreo.
Straight Oreo.
And don't give me those Oreo Thins.
Who Carter.
Is Carter. Carter. Oreo Thins.
Carter's saying by far the best Oreos are the Oreo Thins.
Get out.
I think that caused you to take the week off.
Yeah, let's not have him on tomorrow.
He has been suspended from Ask Ed of Anything tomorrow because of that. What is your go-to Dairy Queen order? What's Tony Adams' go-to Dairy Queen order? And then some serious Minneapolis police talk with my friend Tony in moments on CCM. I've known Tony Adams for 30-some years. Tony, remind me, what were we at with you? Were you about 25 years with the Minneapolis police? It was right around there, right?
30 years.
30.
Yeah, don't take five away from me.
Yeah. this is my friend Tony Adams. 30 years with the Minneapolis police, like all our guests, like Belsky was. He's on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Let's get into the controversy, the discussion which has come up before, ShotSpotter. Okay, you can explain it better than I can. If somebody's listening, plenty of people listening know what ShotSpotter is, but why don't you explain it for the folks who aren't as aware?
Well, Chad, I mean, it breaks down to it's set up with microphones, cameras, whatever you have in different communities that be able to triangulate where the shot's coming from and kind of pinpoint a location to where the shot's coming from. So as me and you talked about before, I've worked with ShotSpotter, or I was on the patrol squad when we had to use it, and I thought it was very effective in helping solve crimes.
So we have 7 miles already in Minneapolis. The proposal would provide more on the south side, 2 extra miles. When folks are saying that it's providing information and shots that don't match up. In fact, I'll give you the data here. Minneapolis, an examination of the 4,100 police responses to ShotSpotter's activation throughout 2022 showed about 70% with dispositions indicating police didn't encounter anything. No victims, shell casing, or physical evidence of shooting. So people see this and say, now, wait a second. If it's 70% of the time that we don't have something, should we spend as much money as we do on this? You say what?
Yeah, that's a big number, but where does that number come from? Is it coming from a patrolman or a patrol person hitting a button on the computer saying that they recovered something or did not recover something? Because I can tell you in cases that we've had in the past or that I was a part of in investigation where there were shootings at scenes, you know, you can always go out the very next day and find casings either hiding up under grass, hiding up under paper, hiding in the leaves or something to that effect. So did that officer get out of the car and do an effective investigation to determine whether there is any casings left behind or not? And if you talk to a lot of investigators, they're going to question you and say, in a lot of cases, that they saw different.
You also have, not as much in this story, but in other stories, where folks on the north side, where you're very familiar, who feel like they're targeted, that ShotSpotter's located more in that part of town, not in other parts of town, and so we get profiled more than we should have. What do you say to that argument?
I would question that argument because I've sat in a lot of communities on community meetings on the north side, and not one individual ever talked about the fact that they didn't like ShotSpotter. Here's the thing, Chad.
that gives the officers another tool that if somebody decides that they're going to call 911 or they're hesitant to call 911 or they're just so accustomed hearing gunshots all the time and they won't call 911, ShotSpotter is going to activate and send a squad to that area where the detection may have taken place. So knowing the people that I grew up with in Minneapolis and knowing the people that I know that still live there, they don't have a problem with it.
Tony Adams is with us with the Minneapolis Police for 30-some years. He's now doing a fabulous job in charge of security for the Wolves and the Lynx. Your brother, Charlie, who I've interviewed many times, is quoted in this story, as you know. Part of what Charlie said is this: death itself has an adverse effect on black communities, noting the vast majority of the city's homicide victims each year are people of color. I would want to have the sensors on every corner if I can. Would you want ShotSpotter on every corner if it was possible, like your brother?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, look at the data, look at the information, and how many times there are shots going off either on the north side or on the south side or wherever the case may be, and they're not being reported unless you have detection from ShotSpotter. All it takes is for you to send a squad car out to that location to see, hey, do I see a person laying in the street? Do I see some potential evidence? And then you can back that up with the city cameras that you have to say, did I see this car speeding away from the scene, or did we get a call from a citizen saying we saw this car leaving the scene at a high rate of speed? I would most definitely want a ShotSpotter detection by every corner.
Well, let's play a hypothetical. Let's say ShotSpotter didn't exist anywhere in the city of Minneapolis. What would happen?
Now you're going back to old school police work where you got to have a two-person unmarked car riding around with their windows down and trying to figure out if they're going into the high crime area to try to figure out where the shooting's coming from. And by the time and we used to do this back in the gang unit and narcotics unit. And by the time we can detect where the shots may have come from or a possibility, it could be too late. A life could be gone.
Tony, hang on. I want to take a short break. I want to get to other matters with Tony, including the recent raises okay by the City Council for Police, his thoughts on Brian O'Hara. And if you want to send me a text, Tony's really good on the radio. You can hear this already. 30 years of experience as an officer in Minneapolis. If you have a question for Tony, I can pass it along. Always willing to take those texts. 651-461-9226 on CCO. Former Minneapolis police officer and frequent guest and longtime friend Tony Adams is back with us. It's 50 past 12. All right, Tony, you've paid close enough attention. It took a while, but we finally have a contract between the union and the city, and it does include a pretty dramatic pay increase for officers. How essential do you think is this, Tony, to not only maintain officers, but to recruit new ones?
I think it's very important, Chad, because now you can compete with your smaller agencies around here who has less deaths in their years of being able to get their highest salary. And it's going to bring you have a lot of people that would want to work in a city instead of a suburbs in most cases. But it's going to make the playing field even closer now that you've given them that type of raise.
So you know the numbers where we're at right now. We're around 500 or so. As someone who loves this city, works in this city, there are people out there who look at some of the crime numbers, which I think they've jumped some this year, but the previous couple of years they had dropped. And some people say, you know what, this quest to get more police officers, it sounds good, but we really don't need as many officers as some are suggesting. What do you think about that when people offer that up?
I would say that it's completely wrong about that. When I first came on in 1990, we had about 950 officers, and our roll call rooms were absolutely full. So back then, where if you didn't get to work ahead of time, you didn't have a portable radio to be able to go out and answer calls with, or you couldn't have a battery for a portable radio to go out and answer calls. Every district had four officers in it, and you had a day watch shift, or you had a day watch, a middle watch, a dog watch, and you had a power shift and a late power shift. So that means you had so many squad cars being able to patrol the district. It made it very simple.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've known Tony Adams for 30-some years. Tony, remind me, what were we at with you? Were you about 25 years with the Minneapolis Police? It was right around there, right?
30 years.
30.
Yeah, don't take five away from me.
Yeah. this is my friend Tony Adams. 30 years with the Minneapolis Police, like all our guests, like Belsky was. He's on the John Schuster Caldwell Banger Hotline. Let's get into the controversy, the discussion which has come up before, ShotSpotter. Okay, you can explain it better than I can. If somebody's listening, plenty of people listening know what ShotSpotter is, but why don't you explain it for the folks who aren't as aware?
Well, Chad, I mean, it breaks down to it's set up with microphones, cameras, whatever you have in different communities that be able to triangulate where the shot's coming from and kind of pinpoint a location to where the shot's coming from. So as me and you talked about before, I've worked with ShotSpotter, or I've was on the patrol squad when we had to use it, and I thought it was very effective in helping solve crimes.
So we have 7 miles already in Minneapolis. The proposal would provide more on the south side, 2 extra miles. When folks are saying that it's providing information and shots that don't match up. In fact, I'll give you the data here. Minneapolis, an examination of the 4,100 police responses to ShotSpotter's activation throughout 2022 showed about 70% with dispositions indicating police didn't encounter anything. No victims, shell casing, or physical evidence of shooting. So people see this and say, now, wait a second. If it's 70% of the time that we don't have something, should we spend as much money as we do on this? You say what?
Yeah, that's a big number, but where does that number come from? Is it coming from a patrolman or a patrol person hitting a button on the computer saying that they recovered something or did not recover something? Because I can tell you in cases that we've had in the past or that I was a part of in investigation where there were shootings at scenes, you know, you can always go out the very next day and find casings either hiding up under grass, hiding up under paper, hiding in the leaves or something to that effect. So did that officer get out of the car and do an effective investigation to determine whether there is any casings left behind or not? And if you talk to a lot of investigators, they're going to question you and say, in a lot of cases, that they saw different.
You also have, not as much in this story, but in other stories, where folks on the north side, where you're very familiar, who feel like they're targeted, that ShotSpotter's located more in that part of town, not in other parts of town, and so we get profiled more than we should have. What do you say to that argument?
I would question that argument because I've sat in a lot of communities on community meetings on the north side, and not one individual ever talked about the fact that they didn't like ShotSpotter. Here's the thing, Chad. That gives the officers another tool that if somebody decides that they're going to call 911 or they're hesitant to call 911 or they're just so accustomed hearing gunshots all the time and they won't call 911, ShotSpotter is going to activate and send a squad to that area where the detection may have taken place. So knowing the people that I grew up with in Minneapolis and knowing the people that I know that still live there, they don't have a problem with it.
Tony Adams is with us with the Minneapolis Police for 30-some years. He's now doing a fabulous job in charge of security for the Wolves and the Lynx. Your brother, Charlie, who I've interviewed many times, is quoted in this story, as you know. Part of what Charlie said is this: death itself has an adverse effect on black communities. noting the vast majority of the city's homicide victims each year are people of color. I would want to have the sensors on every corner if I can. Would you want ShotSpotter on every corner if it was possible, like your brother?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, look at the data, look at the information, and how many times there are shots going off either on the north side or on the south side or wherever the case may be, and they're not being reported unless you have detection from ShotSpotter. All it takes is for you to send a squad car out to that location to see, hey, do I see a person laying in the street? Do I see some potential evidence? And then you can back that up with the city cameras that you have to say, did I see this car speeding away from the scene, or did we get a call from a citizen saying we saw this car leaving the scene at a high rate of speed? I would most definitely want a ShotSpotter detection on every corner.
Well, let's play a hypothetical. Let's say ShotSpotter didn't exist anywhere in the city of Minneapolis. What would happen?
Now you're going back to old school police work where you got to have a two-person unmarked car riding around with their windows down and trying to figure out if they're going into the high crime area to try to figure out where the shooting's coming from. And by the time and we used to do this back in the gang unit and narcotics unit. And by the time we can detect where the shots may have come from or a possibility, it could be too late. A life could be gone.
Tony, hang on. I want to take a short break. I want to get to other matters with Tony, including the recent raises okayed by the city council for police, his thoughts on Brian O'Hara. And if you want to send me a text, Tony's really good on the radio. You can hear this already. 30 years of experience as an officer in Minneapolis. If you have a question for Tony, I can pass it along. Always willing to take those texts. 651-461-9226 on CCO. Former Minneapolis police officer and frequent guest and longtime friend Tony Adams is back with us. It's 50 past 12. All right, Tony, you've paid close enough attention. It took a while, but we finally have a contract between the union and the city, and it does include a pretty dramatic pay increase for officers. How essential do you think is this, Tony, to not only maintain officers, but to recruit new ones?
I think it's very important, Chad, because now you can compete with your smaller agencies around here who has less deaths in their years of being able to get their highest salary. And it's going to bring you have a lot of people that would want to work in a city instead of a suburbs in most cases. But it's going to make the playing field even closer now that you're giving them that type of raise.
So you know the numbers where we're at right now. We're around 500 or so. As someone who loves this city, works in this city, there are people out there who look at some of the crime numbers, which I think they've jumped some this year, but the previous couple of years they had dropped. And some people say, you know what, this quest to get more police officers, it sounds good, but we really don't need as many officers as some are suggesting. What do you think about that when people offer that up?
I would say that it's completely wrong about that, Chad. When I first came on in 1990, we had about 950 officers, and our roll call rooms were absolutely full. So back then, if you didn't get to work ahead of time, you didn't have a portable radio to be able to go out and answer calls with, or you couldn't have a battery for a portable radio to go out and answer calls. Every district had four officers in it, and you had a day watch shift, or you had a day watch, a middle watch, a dog watch, and you had a power shift and a late power shift. So that means you had so many squad cars being able to patrol the district. It made it very simple. So we would have, our minimums would be 18 officers on a shift. Our max would be about 28. You break it down to what they're talking about now, their max time could be six officers. All it takes is one incident, yep, and those officers and that whole district is on backlog because they have nobody to answer the calls, and that's what they're facing right now today.
I agree with you 100%. Among the texts coming in, Tony, thank you, first of all, for caring. I grew up on 16th and Fremont in North Minneapolis, graduated from North, and I got out of the city right away. My wife and I have recently moved back downtown. Is that area covered? I would sign up for this in every corner of Minneapolis as possible. How can I help? He's talking about ShotSpotter. What would you say about the safety of downtown and the prevalence of ShotSpotter in downtown Minneapolis?
Yes, because just think about the fact that on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, around bar closing, especially around some of your bars, it's very critical to have maybe a ShotSpotter in those locations to be able to dictate things. But the good thing about downtown is they have a fantastic camera system that can pick up a lot of activity, and they're being monitored 24 hours a day. And to my fellow grad at North High School and that grew up on 16th of Fremont, so thank you for still staying in the city.
What are your impressions of Brian O'Hara from afar?
I like him. I think he's one of the very few chiefs that have come into his position and make some drastic change in the leadership area and promote some people of color and people that probably would have never been promoted to those positions. So I like him a lot right now. I'll like him even more because I just met with him about 2 weeks ago. If he brings back the Police Activity League, which he's very close to doing. Right. And that I'm a board member of.
Why didn't the other chiefs make the appointments, including people of color, when O'Hara has done it?
Not sure. It'd be very interesting to be able to sit down and talk to those individuals and say, you know, what, you had these people. Some chat may say that they want the people that they want to pick, but in our time or over the time, we've seen a lot of good choices and we've seen a lot of bad choices.
All right, two last questions here. Why aren't you in Paris on security detail with Anthony Edwards? By the way, 23 today. Come on, how come you're not at the Olympics right now?
Well, we have young kids here that are practicing right now, so we just finished NBA Summer League, so.
I could have found somebody else for you for Summer League to get you to Paris. I got to be honest.
Yeah, but you know, you think about 12 hot days in Las Vegas, it gets to be a lot. So I had to take care of it.
Tanky, Ethan, let's go. And then the most important question: how is it possible it's August 5th and we haven't played golf yet this summer?
Well, I need to work another Summer League because all the money I normally have to pay you after the round is astronomical.
Yeah, get out of here. That you are quintessential sandbagger right here, Harrigan. He's like, I haven't played much. And then whatever club we're at, hey, Tony, you're back here again. You know, like they all know his name. It's like a cheers sort of situation. All right, my friend, we'll make it happen. We'll get to Jim Pete and some others and play some golf.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you.
He is a good man and served this city very, very well, the city of Minneapolis, for 30-plus years, my friend Tony Adams. Your Lindis Construction time check is, hey, it's 12:56. Time to invest in energy-efficient Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive free installation labor. Now, last newscast, Dave Harrigan, Susie basically said she hated my guts.
Not basically. She said that.
She said that. Will she say something like that again during the local news?
Are you planning to jump in at all?
Well, I might, just to get her going.
If you jump in, 100%.
Okay. We also have overrated, underrated, properly rated, where America will sing along with the greatest song on the planet. And by the way, if you want to chime in for overrated, you can right now. Text, what do you have? 651-461. 9226 on the home of the Twins, CCO. Former Minneapolis police officer and frequent guest and longtime friend Tony Adams is back with us. It's 50 past 12. All right, Tony, you've paid close enough attention. It took a while, but we finally have a contract between the union and the city, and it does include a pretty dramatic pay increase for officers. How essential do you think is this, Tony, to not only maintain officers, but to recruit new ones?
I think it's very important, Chad, because now you can compete with your smaller agencies around here who has less deaths in their years of being able to get their highest salary. and it's going to bring a, I mean, you have a lot of people that would want to work in a city instead of the suburbs in most cases, but it's going to make the playing field even closer now that you've given them that type of raise.
So you know the numbers where we're at right now. We're around 500 or so. As someone who loves this city, works in this city, there are people out there who look at some of the crime numbers, which I think they've jumped some this year, but the previous couple of years they had dropped, and some people say, you know what, this quest to get more police officers, it sounds good, but we really don't need as many officers as some are suggesting. What do you think about that when people offer that up?
I would say that it's completely wrong about that, Chad. When I first came on in 1990, we had about 950 officers, and our roll call rooms were absolutely full. So back then, where if you didn't get to work ahead of time, you didn't have a portable radio to be able to go out and answer calls with, or you couldn't have a battery for a portable radio to go out and answer calls. Every district had four officers in it, and you had a day watch shift, or you had a day watch, a middle watch, a dog watch, and you had a power shift and a late power shift. So that means you had so many squad cars being able to patrol the district, it made it very simple. So we would have, our minimums would be 18 officers on a shift. Our max would be about 28. You break it down to what they're talking about now, their max time could be six officers. All it takes is one incident, yep, and those officers and that whole district is on backlog because they have nobody to answer the calls, and that's what they're facing right now today.
I agree with you 100%. Among the texts coming in, Tony, thank you, first of all, for caring. I grew up on 16th and Fremont in North Minneapolis, graduated from North, and I got out of the city right away. My wife and I have recently moved back downtown. Is that area covered? I would sign up for this in every corner of Minneapolis as possible. How can I help? He's talking about ShotSpotter. What would you say about the safety of downtown and the prevalence of ShotSpotter in downtown Minneapolis?
Yes, because just think about the fact that on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night around bar closing, especially around some of your bars, it's very critical to have maybe a ShotSpotter in those locations to be able to dictate things. But the good thing about downtown is they have a fantastic camera system that can pick up a lot of activity, and they're being monitored 24 hours a day. And to my fellow grad at North High School and that grew up on 16th of Fremont, so thank you for still staying in the city.
What are your impressions of Brian O'Hara from afar?
I like him. I think he's one of the very few chiefs that have come into his position and make some drastic change in the leadership area and promote some people of color and people that probably would have never been promoted to those positions. So I like him a lot right now. I'll like him even more because I just met with him about 2 weeks ago. If he brings back the Police Activity League, which he's very close to doing. Right. And that I'm a board member of.
Why didn't the other chiefs make the appointments, including people of color, when O'Hara has done it?
Not sure. It'd be very interesting to be able to sit down and talk to those individuals and say, you know, you had these people. Some chat may say that they want the people that they want to pick, but in our time or over the time, we've seen a lot of good choices and we've seen a lot of bad choices.
All right, two last questions here. Why aren't you in Paris on security detail with Anthony Edwards? By the way, 23 today. Come on, how come you're not at the Olympics right now?
Well, we have young kids here that are practicing right now. So, and then we just finished, we just finished NBA Summer League. So.
I could have found somebody else for you for summer league to get you to Paris. I got to be honest.
Yeah, but you know, you think about 12 hot days in Las Vegas, it gets to be a lot. So I had to take care of it.
Tanky, Ethan, let's go. And then the most important question: how is it possible it's August 5th and we haven't played golf yet this summer?
Well, I need to work another summer league because all the money I normally have to pay you after the round is astronomical.
Yeah, get out of here. That you were quintessential sandbagger right here, Harrigan. He's like, I haven't played much. And then
whatever club we're at. Hey, Tony, you're back here again. You know, like they all know his name. It's like a cheers sort of situation. All right, my friend. We'll make it happen. We'll get to Jim Pete and some others and play some golf.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you.
He is a good man and served this city very, very well, the city of Minneapolis, for 30-plus years, my friend Tony Adams. Your Linda's Construction time check is, hey, it's 12:56. Time to invest in energy-efficient Infinity from Marvin Windows and receive free installation labor. Now, last newscast, Dave Harrigan, Susie basically said she hated my guts.
Not basically. She said that.
She said that. Will she say something like that again during the local news?
Are you planning to jump in at all?
Well, I might, just to get her going.
If you jump in, 100%.
Okay. We also have overrated, underrated, properly rated, where America will sing along with the greatest song on the planet. And by the way, if you want to chime in for overrated, you can right now. Text, what do you have? 651-461-9226 on the home of the Twins, CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.